are much better than our ways, even though we cannot always see them or understand them. But Lord, I just pray that we would worship you this morning for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. For thou, O Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted.
Let's just say Steve's hallelujah got a little louder when I slapped him on the back.
It makes me look forward to the day that we'll all be home and that we'll get to worship God together with the saints who've gone before. And we look so forward to that day, but we can join them in singing this morning praises to our King.
Walk.
Heavenly Father, thank you this morning that the blood has been shed, that the perfect sacrifice was made, and that, Lord, for all of time, we do not need to sacrifice a lamb. But, Lord, that you gave your only begotten Son, your beloved Son, as the perfect lamb, that blood that was shed, we are now free. It has covered our sins if we are just willing, Lord, to put it on the doorpost of our hearts and say, we are covered. And the angel of death has no power here because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we have that in you. It's nothing of our own doing, nothing that we have done to earn it. But, Lord, it is the gift of salvation. It is the gift of God to us. And we thank you, Lord, this morning that we can know you, that we can have a hope, that we can know that our sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And Lord, that someday we will see you, that someday we will stand before you and have no fear because we have been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus.
We praise you for that this morning in Jesus' name.
Let's all stand to sing this last song.
We sang this last week. It was a new song that we had sang last week. And I like to sing it a couple times if it's a new one, so that way you guys can kind of get it stuck in your heads. That way it feels going a little bit faster down the highway than he was last week.
Okay, all the kids can come. All right. Daniel, you know what today is?
Father's Day.
Sunday. Sunday. Yeah, it's Father's Day. So, what did you guys do anything for your dad? What'd you do?
I made him a coaster.
A coaster? Uh-huh. What kind of toaster? Or coaster? Like for his cup or what?
Yeah.
Okay. What'd you do?
I made a coaster for my grandpa.
Oh, cool. What'd you do, JJ?
Make a cute coaster too.
So, put his coffee on. Did you make him? He doesn't drink coffee?
Yeah, he drinks tea.
Oh, he drinks tea. Okay. Denzel, what'd you do? Did you do anything?
No.
You didn't? You sure you don't want to do anything? Lucas, did you do anything?
Give presents to our dad.
You gave presents? That's cool. So, do you think he's done a little more for you guys?
Yeah.
Yes. So what does he do for you guys? Denzel, what does he do for you? What does your dad do for you?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you eat?
What?
Do you eat food?
Yeah.
How do you think it got there?
Good.
Yeah, mom made it, and then dad bought it, right?
My dad took me on the motorcycle.
Oh, he did? That's cool.
This morning.
Oh, yeah, this morning? Did he go fast? Okay, so also, who's our Heavenly Father?
God.
And he's done a lot for us. And he's done a lot for your dad and his dad before him, right? So he's a father to all of us. Also, so you think if you'd run away and you'd come back, do you think your dad would let you stay at the house? Or would he just kick you out? Yeah. So that's what happened to the prodigal son. And Phil said a lot about this. See if I can find it. So I'm going to read you the story of the prodigal son. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that has come to me. And he divided his property between them. So his dad's like, so the son's also like, Dad, give me all the money which you owe me, okay, right now. And so his dad gave it. Not many days later, youngest son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. There he squandered his property in reckless living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. So he was so hungry that he was actually eating what the pigs were eating. Imagine that. And what the pigs eat is what we don't eat. So all our trash and...
Tubman, they would eat banana peels.
Banana peels? That's disgusting.
I mean, potato peels.
Potato peels? Yeah, that's what pigs eat. So that's what he was trying to eat. He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will rise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your servant, be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He is lost and is found. So he left, he squandered all his parents' money, all his dad's money, and when he came back, he was just hoping to be one of his dad's servants so that at least he could eat. But his father came and gave him a big hug and gave him the best robe and killed the best calf and ate, gave him the best food, even though his son didn't do anything. So how many of you guys, your father, you may have disrespect him or not do something nice to him, but he still feeds you and hugs you and loves you all what you want, even though you may not be perfect, but anyways, you may not be perfect, and he may not always be perfect, but he's always going to love you, right? And even if you may do something wrong, he's going to come back and still love you. And let me see. And also God did the same thing. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So God's the best father to us all, that he gave his only son to us dumb people, and so that we may be saved and be his children too. So he's the best father. And of course you got Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. Did you know that commandment was stated specifically 8 times in the Bible? And it's also stated about 50 times to honor your father and your mother. So it's in the Bible 50 times to love your parents. And it also means there's also a lot of verses about loving God too, because he's your heavenly father, that he's the one you should be obeying and listening to, while your earthly father helps you out through him. Okay, you guys can go back.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Brandon, for sharing that. That was good. I'll make a few announcements, and then we'll play a clip about fathers and Father's Day and related to that. But I'll just make a few announcements first. We have the prayer at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. Everyone's welcome. The book study this Wednesday night, 6:30 at John's house again. Thanks for opening your home to us and or to those of us that come.
So there's a brother, his name is Mike Wheeler, and he comes in and he prays with us every Saturday morning here. He has to work Sundays, so he can't go to church because he works at Vestas and his shift starts on Sundays. And he asked if he could join our book study, but he works every other Wednesday night. He also has to work. His shift goes from Sunday through Wednesday or Wednesday night through Sunday. So to accommodate him, we would need to change up the Wednesday night. So instead of this Wednesday night, it would be the next Wednesday night. So Dad and I were talking about it, and Dad's like, well, why don't we just do 2 Wednesday nights in a row? And I said, I'll ask the guys, see what you think. Ron goes yes, Steve is yes, Dwayne's a yes, yep. Okay, so we'll just have it this Wednesday and the following. And I'm sorry, ladies, I talked to Jenny about this, and she thought it would be okay if you could bump yours for another Wednesday night. So thanks for making room for us men and our schedules, it's because I think you guys are starting yours to have the Wednesday night. We're off every other Wednesday night. So it would be the first Wednesday night in July, Jenny? Yep. So the first Wednesday night in July would be the women's thing, and then we are on a rotation again to accommodate Mike and have him come and join us. Thanks for that.
All right, thank you. Also, our annual youth retreat for August 7th through 11th, Spread the Word. And I was sitting back there looking over this, and I was just thinking, you know, yeah, it's for the youth that, you know, are interested in this, but I don't know, maybe I can... I guess Phil can correct me if I'm wrong, but if you even know of somebody that could benefit from it or that would need and be interested in being around a Christian a Christian retreat like that, you know, some youth person or somebody, like, please invite him. And I'm sure we'll figure out the payment, you know, if that's an issue with somebody. So that could be around a Christian influence. That's what I'm trying to say. So, okay. So, yeah, I was thinking, too, about fathers this morning, and I was thinking about my dad and the you know, what all he's done for us. And I just thought of it, one story that has been kind of coming to my mind recently. So my dad was in construction, did all kinds of building and remodeling, and he fell and broke his leg. And this was, I don't know how old I was. I think there was 3 or 4 of us kids at home. And, you know, we were by no means a rich family. And so he couldn't work for, I don't know how long it was. But I also know that the customer got upset at him because his barn wasn't getting finished. And so he was up on a roof in his walking cast trying to finish this barn. And that always kind of stood out to me. But the second thing was, you know, us kids never knew that we were struggling. And we were in a Mennonite community, so people gave food and stuff like that. But there was always good food on our table. Like, we never knew, never even thought about it. And it's just a good example of how our Heavenly Father cares for us. So we're going to watch this clip, and then Ellie will bring us the sermon after that. So, all right.
Hey, dads. It's really good to see you. I know you may not hear this a lot, but we want you to know how important it is that you're here. You don't have an easy job. Being a dad comes with incredible challenges, and sometimes it's hard to know if you're doing it right. But you should know that being here right now is such an important part. In the Bible, God gave us this command: love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. These words should be in your heart. You should teach them to your children. You should talk of them when you're sitting at home and when you're out in public. You should speak of them from the time you wake up in the morning until the time you fall asleep at night. So what does it mean to be a good father? It means loving God with all of your heart, soul, and might, and teaching your children to do the same. And it's such a great example that you're here today, seeking more of Jesus and worshiping him unashamed. The kids here see you. The young men and women are watching, and as they continue to grow, they'll remember and do the same. So thanks, dads. Thank you for your presence and example. We pray that God will bless you, renew your spirit, and draw you closer to him so you can continue to be a shining influence to all those around you. Happy Father's Day.
Hello, am I on? Yes? Is this a good one? Is the black one? That's one. The thing, famous thing. Well, good morning, everybody. It's last time I got to share, you know, with you, had the opportunity of sharing with you. It was Mother's Day, so I don't know what's going on. Sorry I didn't have like a specific talk for the mothers, and today I don't have a specific talk for the fathers, but I think we'll survive. I would like to welcome this young couple right here. I don't think I've ever seen you before. Yeah, I'm talking about you with the glasses. Yeah, who are you guys? Are you? Oh, wow. Hey, welcome. Nice. All the way from Canada. Did you have to bring jump a wall too like I did from Mexico? No? No. No, this time. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Well, nice to meet you. That's awesome. So we've been studying the book of Colossians. At first, we started the book of Colossians, right? That's how it sounded to me. But now we're in the book of Colossians. That's an inside joke, by the way. Don't worry. So we are in chapter 3, verse 18. So if you can please open your Bible and go over there. I would like to do it a little bit different this time, okay? I'm going to ask you one question first, and hopefully we will answer the question. And during the preaching or during the time that I'm sharing with you, please feel free to say something, okay? I might ask you a question, so be ready. And don't try to hide behind the person in front of you because you can see it right away. And then it's going to be like, okay, you're going to answer this question. So don't hide. We're going to talk about something here, very important. And this is the first question that I have. Try to see or try to find out if in this text you can see Jesus. Okay? Try to see or try to find out if you can see something, if you can see Jesus in this text. Okay? Just keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. Jesus, his character, his life, his person, who he is. All right? Now, I also would like to do it a little bit different this time. I need to open my Bible first, right? Colossians 3, verse 18. I would like to ask a woman, a married woman, in other words, a wife, to read chapter 3, verse 18. Just verse 18. Anybody? Anybody? Please, go ahead and read chapter 3, verse 18. Just 18. Loud, as loud as you can. All right. Wives, submit to your husbands. Okay? Because that fits in the Lord. Now, a husband. I need a husband. Somebody.
Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them.
All right. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. I need a child. Somebody that is a child of somebody's. It doesn't need to be a young guy. I mean, thank you. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Okay, I need a father. Somebody that is a dad. Dave, you look like a dad. Thank you. I need someone that works for somebody. Am I the only employee in this place? So you all are business people. Are you all your own businesses? Anybody? Patrick, please, thank you. You need to go all the way to finish the chapter. Just finish the chapter. Try to speak up a little bit. Yes. Yes, please. Just finish the chapter. Thank you. Okay, now I need somebody, okay, that is the boss or, yeah, I guess, if you own a business and you have people working for you, can you read chapter 4, verse 1, just verse 1? Anyone? Phil, go for it.
Masters, grant to your slaves justice and fairness, knowing that you too have a master in heaven.
All right. So, did you see Jesus at any point? Yet? Have you seen it yet? Have you seen him in the text? So, let me ask you another question. women, those that are married, wives, when you hear these words, wives, that's for you, by the way, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Does it make you feel inferior? Does it sound unfair to you? No answers. It doesn't. It did when you were younger. Okay. Thank you for saying that. Your understanding has changed. That's incredible. Thank you for saying that. I agree with you. You know, when I read this, I was like, whoa, that sounds... Sorry. Because I'm not there. Sorry for you. Well, it was like, sorry for you, okay? You know what I mean? Sorry for you. Okay, husbands. Love your wives. And do not be harsh with them. Husband, let me ask you this. Does that make you feel superior? Or do you feel stronger? Or do you feel like you have the rights to give orders and just your wife is supposed to do whatever you want her to do?
No.
No. Why not, Phil?
Because Ephesians says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself.
He gave his own life for her. Children, how about you? What do you think? Obey your parents in everything. In everything. Come on. I really want to go play with my buddies. I do not want to go to bed right now. I don't like eating broccoli. Do I have to? In everything? Does that sound unfair? It does sometimes. I feel you, man. I feel you. Okay, how about bond servants? You know, your boss sometimes is like not that fair, let's say, or nice, or you notice that he's or her is treating your coworker better. Why did he get the promotion and not me? I've been here 5 years more than this person. What's going on here? How about you that own a business and you have people working for you? Does that give you the power to crush the employee, to be harsh or to treat them not very respectfully just because you're basically giving this person a job? Does that make you better? So are we seeing Jesus here? Why do we have this word in the Bible? Why is he saying this? Okay, let's dive in. Wives, submit to your husbands because as is fitting in the Lord. The word submit means to put yourself under the authority of somebody. It does not mean that you are less, that you have less value than this person. It's not saying, wives, you are of less value than your husband, thus you need to put yourself under the authority of your husband. It's just saying, you put yourself under the authority of your husband. Because that's God's character. This fits the Lord. This is what is in God's heart, is that the wife would put herself under the authority of her husband. It was not my idea, by the way. It was God's idea. There is something about the design that he made when he came up with this idea of a relationship of a man and a woman. For some reason, you know, he saw this is going to work well like this. The man is the head and the woman is going to be under the authority of this man. Now, for a woman to put herself under the authority of a man, It takes love. right? But also it needs to be a safe place for the woman. Or if it is a safe place, I guess I can say maybe it's easier, right? It is a safe place. Now, for this to be a safe place, then we need to see the next verse. And by the way, I don't know why Paul started with wives. I don't know if this is harder than being the husband. Or he's being a gentleman. He's saying, ladies first, this is for you, all right? Submit to your husband. Maybe he's just being kind. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Love like whom? Like Jesus does love the church. He gave his life for his wife, for the bride. Now, if you're thinking, oh, I love my wife, you know, I would take a bullet for her. I put my chest over there. Really? I mean, I hope that never happens and you never need to do that. But how about this? How about putting all your pride aside and loving her without that pride, without thinking that you are better, more, higher, more powerful, or that you have more rights because you're the man, because it's in the Bible, than her. In this case, it is very straight and direct, and it tells us, love your wife. Love your wife. But not only that, do not be harsh. Do not be severe towards her. How many of you don't answer this question? How many of you sometimes, I don't know, you know, you're doing relationship, having life with your wife, and something, she makes a mistake. I know they never make mistakes, but when they do, okay, let's say your wife made a mistake. How do you react? Are you patient? Do you still love her? Or do you crush her? Do you make her feel like you are like dumb? You're stupid. I'm preaching to myself, by the way. Loving, but also controlling yourself. Do not be harsh. She's not less than you are. Even though you're the head of the household, she's not less than you are. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. I remember my dad. There is one thing that my dad has always asked from me. If it was his birthday, if it was Father's Day, if it was Independence Day or whatever, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, the only thing that my dad asked, demanded, is that a good word? I don't know. Okay, he asked from me and all my siblings was this: be obedient. That's it. He never asked me for good grades. He never asked me to, I don't know, you can make the example, whatever, like dress in a certain way. He never asked for those things. The only thing that he asked very strongly was just be obedient. In everything I asked from you. Isn't it that interesting? Just be obedient. I want your obedience. Of course, when I got in my teens, it bothered me a lot that he would say, it was his birthday, and he would say, you know what I want for a gift? I was like, let me guess, Dad. You want my obedience. That's what I want. That's what I want from you. Just be obedient. This pleases the Lord. Let me say that again. This, children, listen to this. When you obey your parents, even though sometimes it's a little bit hard, I can see that. But when you obey your parents, that action itself is pleasing the heart of the Father. It's like saying, I bless you, God, without saying it with your mouth. It's like saying, it's like literally saying, God, I'm honoring you just by the way I live. By obeying my parents, I am blessing the name of Jesus. I am blessing the Lord. It's pleasing to him. Isn't that awesome? That's amazing. Our actions can please the Lord. How special that is. Fathers, do not provoke your children. I know it says fathers, and of course we go right away with dads, the men. But I think we need to include the mom too. So let's make a Lee version of the Bible right now really quick here. And let's call parents. All right? Parents, do not provoke your children. Ooh. So are you saying that we can actually do things that will bother them? That will make them get angry? So we're saying that we have the authority from God because we're the parents, but it's not saying that we abuse it. Thank you. Abuse that authority. We also have to respect them as people. God is also working in their hearts, right? And we need to be consistent, not only from here, not only say, don't do this, don't do that. How about you preach with your own example, with your own life, right? Or if, I mean, I was listening to some different preachings, you know, about this subject during the whole week, just to get some ideas. And this guy was saying, you know, as a kid, think about this. One day you break a glass. You know, you were playing doing something and the glass fell down and it broke. And your dad goes so mad at you because you did not pay attention and so on and stuff. And then 2 weeks later, same thing happened, but your dad was like, oh, don't worry, it was an accident. Does that make sense? So why this day you got so angry and not this day? Did I do something different? Or was it because you, dad, mom, were in a different mood? I'm preaching to myself. This is hitting me. So me as a dad, you as a dad and a mom, you have something in you that you can actually influence for good or not for very good to your children. Lest they become discouraged. How many times have you heard that the son of the daughter of somebody? We usually, for some reason, we pay more attention to the sons, to the children of pastors. Right? Because we have the wrong conception that a pastor is greater than the congregation. Right? That the pastor is so holy. And the family of the pastor are way better than anyone else. When God is calling everybody the same way. The pastor and his wife and their children are just normal people. Human, like everyone else. How many times have we heard that, oh, the son of this pastor left. He's in the world right now. Right? Or the daughter, man, she lost it. They got discouraged. They saw something in their house that didn't fit. So you're preaching Jesus with your words, but with your life, you're not preaching Jesus. You're doing something else. And I'm not talking about pastors only, by the way. I'm talking to all of us. Right? So what we preach with our mouth needs to make sense with our lives. Otherwise, they get all confused. And they say like, oh, this is just, it's just a face that you put, basically, that you show to the people. Parents, we have so much influence in our kids' lives. That is almost scary. But God has trusted us with it. Bond servants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. How about that? How about we doing our jobs or working, you know, for somebody or a company, but doing our best. Not for them to think that we're doing great. No, doing our best because whatever and everything we do it for the Lord. That would look very different. Trust me, every single job and company will look very different. Even society, right? I mean, I love the fact that Paul starts with the core of society, which is the family. With the fabric, the very, very fabric of society, with the family. Wives, husbands, children, and parents. And I tell you this, you have to be in one of those positions. If you're not a wife, you're probably a husband. If you're not a husband, you're probably a child to somebody, right? And if you say, hey, my parents, they passed away already. Well, then maybe you have children. And if you're single and you don't have kids and anything, well, you work for somebody. And if you don't work for somebody, then somebody works for you. And if you say, well, you know, I'm retired and I don't have kids and I'm not a dad and I'm not a mom and I'm not none of this. Well, let me tell you this. We still have rules in this town, in this city, in this state, in this country, right? So you put yourself under the authority of the law. In other words, there is no way to get out of this. And this word is for you and is for me today. Even though it was written many years ago, God is talking to each one of us today. Are you seeing Jesus yet? Keep going with me. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. When you go to, you know what, tomorrow we all should be aware of this. When we go to work and whatever we're going to do, I am actually doing what I'm doing right now for the Lord, for God. Yes, you might be my boss. Yes, you might be my employee. But what I'm doing my best because whatever I do it from Him. And He deserves my best. I had the opportunity of coaching kids, coaching soccer with some kids. And I told them, I like telling them this, you know, being a professional player, maybe many people think, oh, that means that you get paid, you know, to play soccer. And yeah, I mean, all pro players, they get paid, of course. But I told them, but you can be a professional. Even right now that you're 11, 12, you don't need to get paid. And they're like, well, what do you mean? Being a professional means that you do your best. All right, as a professional, as a soccer player, what is doing your best? When you go train, you do your best. When you're going to go eat, you be careful what you eat. You don't go party at night. You take care of yourself, right? Because your body is your tool because you need to run and kick the ball. So you need to take care of yourself. Sleep well, drink enough water, right? And I told him, well, but I tell you what. This happened to me. I used to play soccer, but I cannot play anymore. Broke my knee, got too old, blah, blah, blah. But I still like the concept of being a professional. And now I want to be a professional husband, a professional dad for my kids, a professional friend for my friends. I'm trying to do my best. It does not mean that I don't make mistakes. Just so you know, okay, just in case you're wondering, hey, Lee, I know. I still make mistakes. There's still a bunch of stuff in my life. But I want to do my best. I like to see this like God is calling us to be professional people in everything we do. We try our best. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. And there is no partiality. Right? There is no partiality. God is just. He's going to be like, okay, you're in and you're out. No questions asked. Too late. Too late. Masters, treat your bond servants justly and fairly. You know, the fact that you're the owner, the fact that you're the boss, doesn't give you the right to take advantage of somebody in need. I'm not saying that you're doing it. But you know you can do it. Right? Because we have this expression in Mexico, we say, because you have the pan, you know, where you cook, you're holding it from the handle. Right? You have the power. You're not going to get burned. It can get as hot as it can get. You're going to be fine because you're holding the handle. You have the power. Right? Just be just and be fair. Whatever that means in your job, in your business, okay? You know why? Because you also have a master in heaven. And that master in heaven is treating you what is being fair and just with you. What do you think? Did you see Jesus yet? No? Let me go back for the third time. Wives, submit to your husband as is fitting in the Lord. Let's go to Matthew real quick. Matthew 26. So we just described different people, I'm going to say, or different roles of a design from God. We have somebody that submits herself under the authority of somebody that is equal to her. Right? Remember that one? Check this out. Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. For those that remember this story, Jesus is going to pray. Actually, let me go back to 36. It says, then Jesus went with them to a place called, how do you call this place? Gethsemane. Thank you. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And taking with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Oh, it seems like Jesus wasn't having an amazing day, an amazing time, right? Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Even to death. This is not easy. Remain here and watch with me. And going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed, saying, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. I had to take this one in my phone because there were so many, I didn't want to make that many notes. But if you go, I lost it now. Oh, here. If you go to the book of John, you will see in many places that Jesus is God. Jesus is equal to the Father. Does that ring a bell yet? We have somebody, check this out, we have somebody putting himself under the authority of someone else that is equal to him. You see it? Wives, this is why God is asking you from this. He's not saying you're less than your husband. He's saying, I want you to be like I am. Because me being God, being Jesus, I put myself under the authority of the Father. And him and I are one. Wives, Jesus is calling you to be like him. It's a character of God to put himself under the authority of somebody that is just like him. How do you like that one? It's not about who's more or who's best. It's about being like Jesus. Women, married women, God is calling you to be like Him. Husbands. I found out, I didn't know this, that the word husband has more than just the man, you know, the one that is married to a woman. Husband actually has a meaning. I didn't know that, right? It actually means a manager. Yeah, a steward. And as a verb, of course, in English, you can do everything a verb, right? So it means to cultivate. Husbands, you are called to manage. It doesn't mean to control, to manage, to be a steward, and to cultivate your family, your wife. Does that sound like someone else? How about the one that said that he loves the church so much that he gave his life for the church? The same person. Hold on, the same person? I thought we were talking about the wives. Yeah, that's part of the character of God. But part of the character of God is also this, to take care of his wife. If it wasn't because of God, we wouldn't be here. You know what that means? That he's been taking care of each one of us. We are the bride. So husbands, God is calling you to be like Jesus. To be like him. To be like the same person that he's calling the wives to be. Your role is different. Right? Because this is the design. But you're being called to the actual same thing. Be like me. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, which is a little bit before Colossians. Ephesians 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. How many of you men, this is for you husbands, how many of you are harsh with yourself or like to be harsh with yourself or be cruel with yourself? I'm guessing nobody's going to say me. That is the same call, right, towards your wives. Because of the one that the Bible is talking about here right now, that's Jesus. You're called to be like Jesus. The same way. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Matthew 3. Let's go. Matthew 3, 17. So Jesus is being baptized. Okay? And after he was baptized, 3:17 of Matthew says, and behold, a voice from heaven said, and by the way, if a voice from heaven comes, you know it's something powerful, right? I mean, how many times have you heard a voice from, is this coming from heaven? Okay, watch out. This is so important. This is the Lord talking. From heaven said, this, talking about Jesus, is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Hold on. You said that if you're obedient to your parents, then God is pleased. Now, if God is saying that He's well pleased, that means that Jesus was an obedient son to His Father. Guess what, children? No matter your age, you are being called to be like Jesus. Are we seeing the pattern now? Are we seeing what's going on? There is a different place, you know, in the family. Yes. But it's just the character of God. As a son, He's calling you to please your parents, to be obedient to your parents. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Do not irritate them. Do not abuse your authority. How many times have you seen or read in the Bible that God, the Father, abuses Jesus? Is there any verse that you remember like, oh, in here, He was being unfair with Jesus, with His Son? No? No hands? Huh. Or even Jesus, He's our Father too. Is He unfair with us? Who sets the standard though? Ourselves or He does? Fathers. Even the idea of a father, where is that coming from? It's coming from God. God is calling you to be like Jesus. It's a different role in the family, but He's calling you to be like the same person that we've been talking about from the very beginning. And if we move on to the bondservant, man, Jesus is a perfect example of a bondservant. Don't you think? Because whatever He did His best. Can you imagine living 33 years without one single sin? That is cool. He did His best. It was also His character. He was also God. Well, He's God. But still, He gave Himself all who He was, is. He gave Himself everything. Why? He was doing it for the Lord. And masters, what's the best example of a master? Jesus would call a master. Jesus. Now, if I ask you, do you see Jesus in this text? Isn't it that interesting? That even though it describes different people, different roles, in the family, in society too, He's been talking about the same person the entire time. He's been talking to each one of us. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your job. If you're the wife of the husband, if you're the father of the mother, if you're the child, if you're the boss, if you're the employee, it does not matter. You are being called to be like our Creator. And we all have a piece of His character, of His person. Now, this is interesting. It's interesting that he calls specifically each one of us that way. Right? So each one of us has a particular role that fits together and makes it perfect. Right? So God wasn't like, you know what? I guess you're the husband, you're the wife, and you have children. Well, let's come up with the idea of a family right now. No. This was in His heart. This is who He is. Can you imagine if we all, okay, think about this. Let's dream for half a second. if the whole society, if we fulfill this, what we're reading right now, we will live in a very, 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 very different society right now. Very different. Did I say very different already? Yeah, that much difference was going to be between that society and the one we have now. So what is the solution then for this society? Are you thinking of the same name that I'm thinking of? Jesus. That's what we all need. And the best part about this is that we all have the opportunity to be like him. In your role as a dad, in your role as a mom, in your role as a father, in your role as a wife, husband, I mean, husband, wife, in your role as a child, as an employee, as a boss, you have the opportunity, and he's calling you to do it. Which means that it is possible. Of course, not on your own strength. Right? Not on your own strength. And I want to point out something before I finish this. I want to say something. In any of these verses, you will see the husband telling the wife, you need to submit to my authority. You never read the wife telling the husband, hey, you need to love me and don't be harsh with me. Right? Same for the children. Same for every single role is the same concept. You know why? Because it's my relationship with Jesus. And as I allow him to work in my life, to work in my heart, and he will transform me, then I can be in that role. Now, if you ever want to say something to your spouse, how about this? You know what? I bless you for following the example of Jesus. Because even you, even though you are equal to me, you're putting yourself under my authority? What a challenge for me. Right? So I did that. This morning or yesterday, I was like, I was reading this and it had so much impact in my heart that I'm like, you know what? Christy, I thank you for, not for putting yourself under my authority. No, thank you for following the example of Jesus and putting yourself under the authority of somebody that is just like you. A couple inches shorter, but just like you. Right? Just like you. Why are you so quiet? Is this scary? Is this bad? It's exciting. It's exciting. You want to say something, brother?
Yes, it is. It is including all of us. And as you go on with your sermon, brother, a scripture comes to my mind, but I can't recall. Maybe Brother Phil can help me find it. This is the arrangement of our God. The, all of us is the arrangement of our God in heaven. Our Father in heaven has given us an arrangement that we all have to submit to it.
Mm.
And the scripture I'm looking for is in Proverbs or Psalms, Brother Phil, maybe you can help me. It goes like this. It just came up to my mind. I'm listening to you. Right?
Yeah.
There's no wisdom. If we don't fulfill our roles like you call it, there's no wisdom. There is no wisdom. If we oppose God, our Father in heaven, there's no wisdom.
None. Amen. Thank you for sharing that. So, okay, just to finish. If you I'm not going to explain the Trinity. I honestly think there is no human way, human understanding to explain the Trinity of God. So I don't expect a whole explanation, but what I see is the relationship that we have seen in the Bible from God the Father, you know, and His Son, and the Holy Spirit. It sounds very similar to how we relate with each other in our family. Being equal to one another, one put himself in the authority of this one. One is the Father, the other one is the Son. You see the similarities? Remember that we are made of the image of God. This was His idea. Now, and if you're wondering, by any chance, if you're wondering, man, I'm doing a really bad job as a dad, I'm with you. If you're thinking, oh, I'm doing a really bad job as a wife or as a husband, according to this standard, I feel you. But there is hope. And one of the main things when there is a problem, first step, recognize that there is a problem. Because then if you know that there is a problem, then you can do something about it. If you want, of course. The cool thing about it is that we all are called to the same person, to be like Jesus. We all have the opportunity, and it is possible in Him. Now, do you see why Jesus is so important in our lives, in everything, even in society? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. Thank You, Jesus, for showing Yourself to us in so many ways. Thank You for who You are. Thank You for calling each one of us to You. God, and I pray that You help us, help each one of us, wives, husbands, parents, children, bond servants and masters, to allow Your Spirit to work in our hearts, in our minds, that we will become more like You, God. Thank You for Your word. Thank You for being so clear to us. And thank You for being so consistent all the time. Everything is about Jesus. Everything is about Jesus. Thank You, Father. We bless Your name. Amen. Well, I hope that word was a challenge and a blessing and also an encouraging to you. It is for me, to be honest. Just to see that. It was incredible. It was incredible. And that's, I mean, we've told you this before, but that's why you don't hear from, you know, the people that get to share here, Brother Phil, myself, and I mean, you don't hear from us like, hey, vote for this guy. No, vote for that one, right? Or like, oh, there is this program. Go do. No. It's about Jesus. Amen. That's all we need. That's the only person that can actually do something in our hearts. If we give Him our will and we put ourselves under His authority, we're all together. We're all together. We're His bride. Love you, church.
Thanks, Ali, for sharing that. Couple things, if I may take a few minutes to share a little bit. It seems like the last couple subjects for Ali were kind of what I would call a little bit more tough subjects to talk about. And I think you did an awesome job, a great job, and I really appreciate it. And I appreciate the emphasis on, you know, being like Jesus, being like Christ. That with all the words that were said, I think those are the most important words. And if we can, you know, some of these things maybe make us feel a little uncomfortable or I've went through some of those things myself. I feel a little bit uncomfortable with some of the terminology of the Bible sometimes. But you know what? If I look to Jesus, those terminologies don't matter so much. I just want to be like him. It'll take care of itself. God will show you how to walk in that. And so I just want to encourage everybody to do that. The other thing is it okay if I put a butt in your sermon? Okay. I was also noticing that, you know, he talks about wives, husbands, fathers, slaves and masters, and he missed mothers. And so I was thinking about that when you said that, and I looked it up in Ephesians, exactly the same order. He misses mothers, and I don't know if there's a significance to that, but maybe that's the one area that women are more perfect in, and he didn't feel a need to point that out. So I don't know. That's just a thought. I was like, why did he not mention mothers? You know, he specifically mentioned fathers, don't provoke your children. But he didn't say anything about moms. So I don't know. Moms are special. Yeah. So thanks again for sharing that. We do have a lunch here after the service. Everybody's welcome to stay and join us for that. And let's just pray and ask the blessing. Father, thank you for speaking to us, and thank you for bringing your word to us again in such a real way. And I just pray that you would guide and direct each one of us as we walk through these areas that are that you're speaking to us about, and that we would just most of all focus on you and allow you to guide our hearts and our lives. Thank you for this food. Thank you for each one that's here. And I just pray that your blessing would go with each one throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.